Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We're going to be talking about what Paul was talking to the church about. Things going to our head. Think about this. I mean, how many times do we just live our life out of our head? Some more than others, but you just think about stuff. You know, some people wake up in the morning and they just go, oh man, what do I want for me today? How's my day going to be? What am I going to eat? You know, or what if I'm going to get a raise? Or just thinking, and all of a sudden they think about all kinds of things. But the big thing is that we're called to live our life out of our heart. We're called to live our life being led by the Spirit, because those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. And if we spend all of our time in our head, that means we're spending time not being followers of God. You can't follow God with your head, but you can follow him with your heart. We think about in Galatians, and you know, the brain is not, your mind is not your enemy, although sometimes it may seem like it. It's the battleground. It is the battleground of your life, where thoughts will come into your mind. Ephesians 6 talks about it. It's a spiritual warfare where all of a sudden this thought just happens. It just happens. And you have to understand that that's a spiritual attack, quite often referred to as a fiery dart of the enemy. And since if we don't understand spiritual warfare, then sometimes you just think, oh, I'm just terrible. I had this thought, you know, and it's like, well, it could have come out of your heart. But quite often, if it just arrives out of nowhere, it's something that just came your way by this. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. It's the fiery dart of the devil, you know, and it lands, and you could just brush it away while you brush a bird away. You're not what you're being attacked with. So you have this battle going on in your mind. So we can become mind-focused. We can become mind-focused where we're thinking that, you know, I must be bad, or my mind's my enemy. I wish I could just shut my mind down. I can't stop my mind. And the thing is that the mind will be led by your heart. It has to submit to your heart. And when you think about it, when you think about Galatians, when Paul was writing to Galatians, he was telling them, because when you get in your head, you're starting to get into works. You're starting to get in trying to figure things out, and you're going to make it happen. This is what he says. He says in Galatians chapter 3, this is how he describes this. Verse 1, he says, you foolish Galatians. Look at exclamation mark, right? You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you before your very eyes? Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. I mean, man, if we could just get back to the way Paul would think and he would write. I mean, he's writing this out, right?
Mm-hmm. English, right?
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah.
Well, not then, yes. But you know. Yeah, right.
The Bible Museum is going to be there when? I'm messing with you. And he goes on, he says, did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you have heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal in your head by human efforts? Have you suffered so much for nothing? Think about it. All of a sudden, you're following God and God's parting waters and all these things are happening, and all of a sudden now you get comfortable, get it all figured out, and now you're trying to walk it out in your head, right? Mm-hmm. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it was really for nothing, does God give his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observed some law, because you figured out how to do something in your head, or because you believe what you heard? What he's saying is, listen, it's either going to be your head or your heart, but you can't do them both. Your head, and he tells us when he's talking to the Corinthians, he says, listen, we're in a war, but it's not a war like this world. It's a war in our mind. It's our thought life. He said, but we have divine power to deal with these wrong thoughts. when our mind starts going off and doing it. He's just like, take every thought and force it into compliance to what God says. What does that mean? Dude, if you're following your heart, your head like that, you're not forcing anything to be in compliance with God. You're actually thinking you are God, and you're listening to yourself, and you're taking care. Somebody says, I just heard from God. And you're watching, well, that couldn't be God because we didn't approve of that. Mm-hmm. What happens, they're thinking things through, and they're logically make a decision, and they take a vote. They go, this is of God. And their heart had nothing to do with it. Versus the person who doesn't know much at all, who just believes God, and all of a sudden things break out for God in their life. And the person with that's in their head are going like, I don't understand how this is happening. Why doesn't it happen for me? That's not fair. And they measure and blame and all this kind of stuff because they're in their head. Mm-hmm. They're thinking God does these things with them because they figured something out instead of they believed. But understand this, if you let it go to your head, there's physiology to how the brain works. And Tracy Hamilton had a chance to be able to share with us as she was describing how things happen. Because all of a sudden, listen, if you're going to follow God, you got to get used to change. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about this. All of a sudden, you know, Abram's out there with doing his everyday business, and he's by the water brook, and all of a sudden he hears a voice, and he says, listen, get thee up and go, and I'll show you. I mean, that's a change. Leave all your fathers, your family, and everything, and just go. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a change. If you're in your head, you start thinking like, well, I don't know nobody's ever left before. I don't know how it is and what it's going to be like and what's it going to be like when I get there and will they pay me well and can I find a house and this is going to go? And he had to get used to change. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. It's huge change. Mm-hmm. And he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness as he went. Right?
Yeah.
And so he's walking along and all these things are taking place. But all of a sudden, you know, he comes back with the family that's with him. And he says, listen, I was abiding today. And the Lord showed up on my abiding time. And he says, listen, I'm supposed to circumcise every male in the house. Hmm. I mean, that's change. That's change. You think about that. That's change, is it not? Mm-hmm. Did this not happen?
Yeah.
It happened.
Right? Mm-hmm. And whoever wasn't open to change would have been left behind because those, he said, will not be circumcised. They cannot even be here. They can't even be here. And today, of course, it's the spiritual being circumcised in our heart. But that's what happened. That's some serious change. That's some change. Mm-hmm. But he changed. He's like, okay. What's so cool is how they followed Abraham. And that's just like an awesome concept, isn't
Amazing.
It? I mean, that's following, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's following.
Oh, yes.
That's following. But they didn't. God was so pleased with Abraham. He's like, you're gonna welcome everybody into your bosom when you come. I mean, I'm so blessed with you, you know, the bosom of Abraham, the father of faith. And so then he goes to the top of the mountain to offer up his son, the promise, and he's gonna sacrifice him. He's gonna take the knife and kill like he would a sacrifice, and he's gonna burn the sacrifice. He's gonna do it. He told everybody he's gonna do it because God said do it. That's a big change when all of a sudden the promise is here. Okay, I'm accepting the promise. Now I gotta actually let the promise go. Then he gets to the top of the mountain, and then what happens? He says, "Don't kill him." Mm-hmm. Like, okay, listen. I got thee up and I went, and you know what I had to go through when I had to bring in the covenant of circumcision and all the difficulty that I had there. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the answer, and now you want me to, and now this, I'm going to look to the men's eyes and those people who think in their heads, they look at you and shake their head. That's what they did with John the Baptist. They thought, look at him in the wilderness eating grasshoppers and honey and clothed in some, you know, small piece of clothing and ain't nobody listening to him anyway. If he was really, he would have a temple like us. You know what I'm saying? He would be at the pancake breakfast and stuff, and the Shalom breakfast. And so then, but yet Jesus said about him, there was not one greater than him, born of woman. Mm-hmm. And so in the context of this, God's just changing. And listen, if you're moving in your heart, that's not a big deal. But if you're moving in your head, because the people over the head, they just finally kind of settle in and go, you know, okay, I could figure this out. I could do this. But they're only just agreeing in their head. But well, hold on. The next thing's about to come, and you're going to see them all frazzled again. I thought it was going to be like this.
Right.
Who told you to thought in you the first back. Place? You know, I was like, what's going on? And this is physiology that takes place. You got to hear this. This is This is being explained. I'll let Tracy explain it, and then we'll come back. But this, when somebody all of a sudden tells you that, you know, you're not going to work here anymore, we've got a transition package for you, or you're about to have a baby, or God's calling you to a different nation, or some change, this radical change, then something physically happens in your body, and we're going to talk about how we need to deal with that in the context of God. So listen up.
Okay, so I had a class where we were discussing change and how the brain actually processes change. And it was taught by a clinical psychologist, and it really helped me to understand some of the just the reactions that I have and why they happen. And it, because of this, I think it gives me a better concept of how to come out from underneath all of that. But what happens when you have a major change happen in your life is that your brain automatically takes that information and moves it to what's called the frontal cortex of your brain, which is a small part on the very front of your head. And it doesn't have a lot of room there, so you can only put so much information in that area. So that is why when you are going through a large change in your life and your brain uses that area to kind of store it and process that information, everything else in your brain shuts down. So you become hypersensitive in just a couple of different areas, but you lose most of the other functioning of your brain. You stop being able to hear clearly. The frontal cortex sucks up a lot of energy, and because it doesn't hold much, it means that you can't process a whole lot more information. So once that change hits and your brain begins to process that, you can't really hear what other people are telling you, and you can't really take in a lot of other ideas and thoughts, and you can't really function well outside of what you're trying to do with this one thing in your brain. It also uses a lot of energy, so you're exhausted. It makes you very tired if you're continually operating out of that frontal lobe. What also happens is that the frontal lobe sends a trigger to what's called your, I can't get this pronunciation right, but amygdala. That's amygdala. What it is, an amygdala. And the amygdala is a very small part of your brain, and it is basically where the fight or flight reaction is triggered. So when a change comes in your life and the frontal cortex starts working, it throws this thing into action, and basically that part of your brain is trying to figure out how dangerous is this change for you, and what is it going to cost you, this change, and how is it going to affect you, and it causes you to pretty much just get very internally focused on yourself and what's going on in your own life. Your eyesight becomes hypersensitive, where if you've ever felt like you're a deer, you've got the deer in the headlight look, it's because your eyes become much more sensitive during this time. So you're staring at someone, you're trying to take all this information in, but you don't feel like you're really getting it all. And you're not really hearing what anybody else is saying because your hearing has kind of shut down. So really, you know, it helps me to understand all these processes happening at one time. Really helps me to understand, you know, why we react the way we do when we go through a change. But then we really, you know, at the same time, we have to remember that God is in control. You know, and it's not, you know, nothing we process here is going to really, it's, you know, there's a grander scheme to things. So sometimes you just have to consciously pull yourself out of that and say, it's enough, mm-hmm. You know. So that's pretty much what I learned.
So you think about that, that just the physiology, I mean, that actually happens. And some people say, well, there it is. And mm-hmm. That's not what God says. You know, the Lord says the flesh counts for nothing. This is what he says about that. Paul writes, he's writing to the church of Corinth about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, this is verse 1 there, I appeal to you, I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away, I beg you that when I come, that I may not have to be bold as I expect to be towards some people who think we live by the standards of this world. And what the standards of the world does is they just respond to that. They lock into that. This is how things work. Mm-hmm. We build universities around that. We study it. We say, okay, this is what's going to happen logically next. But this is what he goes on to say. That's not how we operate. Or as somebody once said, this is not how we roll. He says, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war. We do not wage war as the world does. So we do wage war, but it's not physical type wars. But it's a spiritual war. On the contrary, he says, this is the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to the demolishing of strongholds. And what, you know, Tracy's describing the physiology of is where, you know, mindsets come in and all of a sudden they get locked into our mind and we're supposed to take that and we can demolish that by the power of God and pull it down and say, no, I'm not going to let my body and my mind direct my heart. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to begin this thing in the spirit and end up think I'm going to accomplish in the flesh. Nobody's going to bewitch me to think that I can actually accomplish what only God is doing amongst me and my family and whatever he's doing amongst me there. And he says, we demolish every argument. Think about this. On the contrary, they have divine power to the demolishing of strongholds. And we demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself up against God. Think about that. In other words, you can't just keep on having this stuff in your head that's against God. When God says left and your head says right and you're thinking, oh, everything's cool. It is not cool.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
It is not cool for to set yourself up against God. It will not end well. Ask Lucifer. You have to deal with those things, but you don't deal with them in your own strength. You deal with them through God, through the power of God's word. If you missed yesterday, you need to hear where 11-year-old Jonathan was spoken to by the Lord in a dream that kind of explains this. This 11-year-old hears the voice of God or hears from God. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And he explains as he's reading the word. And so when we speak the word of God, when you hear us over and over again saying, listen, you need to abide. You need to abide. Well, I don't have time to abide. Well, hello, defeated one.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, one whose mind is set up against God. Mm-hmm. I mean, your head probably looks like a pincushion where all these things the devil said about you and accused you and judged you and all that kind of stuff. You're walking around with all this stuff in your head.
Mm-hmm.
You have no power to overtake that outside the power of God, which is his word. I mean, think about it. Jesus is the truth. And when you read the word of God, you're reading the truth. And if you're not reading the truth, how do you know what a lie is? If you don't know what a truth is, you can't identify a lie. You don't need to know what a lie is. You don't need to study darkness. You just need to be in the light as Jesus is in the light. You need to get in the word and abide in the word. And you just, immediately you know when darkness shows up, a dark thought. You know when a fiery dart, you know, hits in you. You know when you're starting to work things out in your flesh. Work things out in your mind and work things out, you know, through your works instead of just by faith and following God in your heart. Your mind is not your authority. God is your authority if you're a believer, period. No part of you ever is in the authority over God. God's an authority over you. If you truly, Jesus is the Lord of your life. And so every part of you submits to him. But in your heart, he says, if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. And it's your heart that will follow God. And when your mind starts to try to wander and try to lead you astray for whatever's going on, you tell your mind, you bind it, you say no, and you read word, and you share it with somebody, but you don't just logically say, well, you know, I just started thinking, so I started doing, therefore here I am, and I'm sure God will bless it.
Right.
Right? And by the way, there's nothing more frustrating than to try to change your direction without changing your mind. So many people's like, I'm just miserable. It's like, right, you got two different opinions going on. You're divided, the great divide. And so he says, we demolish, Paul's telling us, this is what we do. We demolish every argument. This is what an argument is. An argument is just, it don't have to be loud. It could be quiet. It could come with song. It could come with a cup of coffee. It could come with a gesture. But it's something opposite of what's going on. And so if God says, like I said, left, and you say right, even sing it. Maybe you sing it in a religious way. Right. You know, it's wrong. It's an argument. You know, some people think an argument is just like throwing things and yelling and screaming. Those are the easy ones to identify.
Mm-hmm.
The tough ones are when they go, I see what you mean. And I totally agree with you. But did you ever think about, uh-oh, everything on the other side of the butt, he just flipped everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's called the judo of conversation. We demolish every argument and every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We make it. Why just can't? Because you're not putting any effort into dealing with your mind. You're trying to walk with God out of your head. And listen, whether you know it or not, that's your frustration. But ask the people around you. They're tired of you operating out of your head while you're saying you're following God. It just really creates a very negative vibe. You know, you've got just like the physiology then. You're constantly, because God's constantly changing. You know, you're got tunnel vision. You don't hear. You're like a deer in headlights. You're trying to have the flight or flight syndrome. How's this going to affect me? Is it going to hurt me? Is it going to take what I'm going to lose? I'm going to lose something. What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. You know, it's about me. And so, listen, this is what Jesus tells us. He says, follow him. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. Hebrews 6, we're told that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Mm-hmm. We're told, Paul tells the Corinthians, he tells us, listen, we walk by faith and not by sight. Everything that you see, everything that your mind is connecting with in the context of what he said, that is temporal. But everything you don't see is eternal, which means your heart's going to follow eternity, but your head is going to follow temporal things. So you're making decisions. Remember when Peter told Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. He had temporal things on his mind. He says, you have on your mind the things of man and not the things of God. You almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. Oh, yeah. Get behind me, Satan, he said to Peter, right? But Peter was operating out of his logical mind.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine. That's what you need. You know, somebody, give me, you know, 10 men and women who follow God in their heart versus 1,000 who think they are or their head. I mean, imagine what you could do. For God. Is that not powerful?
Yeah.
Powerful.
So I just want to encourage you. Understand there is a physiology. Your brain is doing that, but it's not an excuse to disobey God. It's not an excuse to hurt people. It lets you know you got to take authority over that and say, if I don't do something about this, it's going to damage my direction in God and me following God. It's going to damage my family, and it can turn us off course from God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, realize that's happening. And when it starts to happen, you know, don't beat yourself up because you can't find your keys or, you know, things are going to happen like that. But you got to say, listen, I'm going into that place. I'm in the grip here. You know, this change is happening. Help me come out of this. And the biggest way to come out of it.